You're alike in many ways, Doctor. I sense your loss, your grief, your madness. But we both go on living, go on talking, go on hoping. We must. What else are we fit for?
Greetings and salutations, and welcome. I say welcome yet again, indeed, to what we're just going to call Shouting Kids in the Background. You've heard a lot of that crap in the show over the years, yes. Anyway, this is going to be called The Best of POV Volume 1. And I'm your wonderful host, David W. Torrance. So happy to have you around. We get to finally test drive this beautiful new computer system here, and it is beautiful, if I might so say so myself. I know you geeks out there are like, what does it look like? No, not like that. Not like that at all. It's beautiful like a 1984 Billy Squire video, I suppose. Oh, what the hell did that... It was a complete non sequitur. Non sequitur. We call it non sequiturs. I only said that because I thought about mentioning that. That I actually heard someone the other day say, man, that was a non sequitur. I was like, well, you tried. I'll give you points for trying. Anyway, what have I been doing? What have I been busy with? Putting this crap together. It only took me all night to do this. Piecing it together through different avenues, different areas, and whatever. And I'm not going to mention anything that's going on right now, because I want to make this kind of timeless. I don't want you to go, he's talking about point A. We're at point B now, so this show is therefore X old. You know, American Idol's going on. They got a bunch of squeaky-ass people on it that I don't really like, so, you know, what's new? Anyway, this is the Best of POV Part Uno. And I say Uno because, you know, we're multicultural here in America now, of course. And, heck, all over the world. You know, Russians don't just consist of, whatever. I kind of fell apart. It's been a while since I've done this. You know, retail sales will dull your mind, I think. Heck no, they'll sharpen it. I get paid for doing that, you know. Anyway, the Best of POV Volume 1 comes from many different sources, one of which I simply couldn't find, and that's why we're going to wait for Volume 2 for that one. Anyway, it's pretty much an hour long. I got to the last thing in it, and I looked at it, and I thought, God, this is an hour already. That's more than plenty of time to waste on your iPod. It'll take you to work and back home. I think that's what I was thinking of here. Yes, let's try that again. It'll take you to work and bring you back home. It's a whole hours of the POV, and if you have a longer drive than that, then download an older episode. If you want to tell us anything, and I'll throw this in right before we start, there's a couple of ways to do that. First, leave us an email at joelcrowservo@podomatic.com. That's where we're at. Or just leave something on the message receptacle, as we normally call it, at joelcrowservo.podomatic.com. I shouldn't get too close to this microphone because it hasn't been used in a long time. It's been in a box. No telling what's been on it. And this is our new mic. This is our new computer, new mic, new POV Central, even though a couple of weeks ago we'll have a different POV Central. Never mind all that crap. We've already went 5 minutes with this horse baloney. So let's go. I like that term, horse baloney. Let's get on with the show. I don't quite remember what we're talking about first, but the golden tones of David W. Torrance will soon take you into an ecstasy of information. That's right. And, let's just go on with it and shut me up. Take it away, Mr. David W. Torrance, you sly devil, you.
Now you're going to get to listen to me talk about Tom Cruise in expanded stereo. You know you got a problem when Sumner Redstone, one of the most powerful men in the entertainment industry, tells a newspaper that we're getting rid of this particular star because, frankly, he's a whack job. And it's even worse when he tells this to the Wall Street Journal. Yes, Tom Cruise, I mean, he just flat out said, look, you know, he's costing us money with his wackiness, with his weird-ass antics, with going on the Today Show and arguing with Matt Lauer, who should have bitch-slapped him for arguing. And that should be when Meredith Viagra comes on this show, she should start that. If you come on here and argue with us, we're going to bitch-slap you, even if it's Al Roker, and you better hope it's not Al Roker. So, what's Tom going to do now? What the hell is Tom going to do? Well, other than raise his phantom baby, the phantom baby, episode one, he said he's going to raise $100 million. Why he should have to raise $100 million, I don't know. In other words, it's saying, somebody else pay for this. I don't want to. And then have some studio distribute his film after he's raised $100 million and made the piece of crap. Which makes me wonder, is he actually thinking of doing Battlefield Earth 2? Because John Travolta wants to do that movie, you know. And, you know, of course, all that said, it's been revealed today, just apparently just moments ago, that the head of the Washington Redskins, L. Ron Redskin, or, well, I don't know, maybe he's a Scientologist, I have no damned idea. But this guy has agreed to be the head of Tom Cruise's new financial fundraising organization. I don't know whether he's, you know, funneling in the funds or what, but this guy's agreed to be the head of Tom Cruise's financial organization. What the hell's your problem? That's what the fuck is wrong with this fucking country? People, do what you're supposed to do. Dude, you are supposed to be the football guy. Leave this to Oprah. I expect Oprah to start raising money from her angel fund for the sales of her Oprah book club shit to finance Tom Cruise's next mega epic, because we need to help Tom Cruise. Let's have a fucking George Clooney telethon to help, you know, Tom Cruise. L. Tom Cruise, he needs our money. He needs our help. He's been kicked out by the evil Paramount. They're almost as evil as Mel Gibson. What are we going to do? Let's not fight a fucking war on terrorism. Let's help Tom Cruise. Let's not fucking play football and pay fucking football players $500 bajillion dollars, which some of them do. You know, they earn that. I don't know. My God. I mean, I was beginning to think we'd put up with any fucking Hollywood anybody acting like a complete fool, and forgive them for it. Let them slide. Angelina Jolie now is like a Mother Teresa of Hollywood, just because she squeezed out Brad Pitt's demon seed. You know, so what? And at least we saw that kid. I mean, you know, come on. But Angelina Jolie, think about it. Just a couple of years, she was fucking nuttier. She was fucking nuttier than a bag full of squirrels. Come on. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh, Angelina Jolie is an upstanding citizen. She's spoken at the UN, you know. They'd probably let me fucking speak at the UN. How'd I tell you something about the UN, by God?
Yeah, okay. Now that we finished with the Tom Cruise foolery, let's get on to the big hoodoo, the big hoobah about the Mel Gibson and the booze. Yes, Mel Gibson is on the booze quite heavily, or was, apparently. I don't know about right now, personally. But let me preface it by saying this. I am not condoning anything that Mel Gibson allegedly said. I don't know what he said. You don't know what he said. Was you there? Was you one operas? I don't think so. But so, I mean, you don't know what he said, really. Allegedly, it was these nasty little anti-Semitic things. But I don't know. We all know that Mel Gibson was on the booze. He's a good friend of the booze, apparently. But what I think a lot of these commentators and all, you know, in general, bitchers have forgot, booze is not Wonder Woman's magic lasso. Booze is not a truth serum. You don't automatically drink the booze and start saying everything you've ever really wanted to say. It don't work like that. How many of you out there, or maybe you know somebody that you said, hey, you know, you were at a party last night, and you said this, you did that. Oh, no, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done that. I'd never said that. I'd never done that. Really? I did that? I wouldn't have said that. And yet, you did. So, like I said, I'm not exonerating Mel here at all. But, you know, I mean, look at it this way. His dad is like a huge anti-Semite. I mean, his name might as well be Adolf Gibson. You know, not that I have anything against you dudes named Adolf out there. I'm talking about Adolf Hitler here is what I'm discussing. And who was it? Some actor. Oh, it was Meathead. Meathead, Rob Reiner, came out the other day and said, well, I think that Mel Gibson also should apologize for The Passion of the Christ. I'm waiting for him to apologize for that movie and its grand anti-Semite statement. Dude, did you actually see that movie? That movie, if anything, was not anti-Semite, was not anti-Jew, was anti-Roman. The Romans killed the Jewish dude in that movie. Did you notice that? And of course, the Jewish dude won out in the end. Did you see that film? Did you read the rather famous book that it was based on? The Romans did everything. I ain't real sure what the Jews did in that movie. I know what his point is. But the Romans were doing the stabbing, the Romans were doing the crucifying. But yet, I don't hear the Romans bitching about it. They're like, yeah, we did that. Sorry, we did that. And they're not griping about the movie. They never have once, as far as I know. There has not been a huge Roman uprising against The Passion of the Christ. So, Meathead, nobody fucking needs to apologize for it. Got it? Hokity kasmokity. Holy shit. You know, I'd hate to be a fan of Lord of the Rings movies, because they've come out with yet another set of these sons of bitches. And I don't know what the difference between them. I've never seen any of them. I don't want to see them. I didn't get the books. I didn't understand those. So I sure as hell don't want to see Slim Pickens or whoever's in that movie. I don't think Slim Pickens is in that movie. It would have been a hell of a movie had he been, though. Anyway, we just closed up an old segment, so, you know, I think it's about time to open up a new segment, and it's a new segment aptly entitled
Believe It or Piss Off.
The human bin catching.
Gung go home. Hindu ascetic. Walked in the blazing hot sun with 50 sharp spear-like pins embedded in his flesh to make penance. To punish self, but mainly to help wife who was sewing new veil and needed pincushion. Believe it, or piss off.
I don't know if you're a fan of the cartoons, you know, the cartoons, but if you're a listener of POV, you should be a fan of the cartoons. I like them, or some of them anyway. I'm not talking about the He-Mans or the Strawberry Shortcakes of the world. No, I'm talking about, like, the Bugs Bunny, the Tom and Jerry. Well, if you watch Tom and Jerry, coincidentally, you're not going to watch quite as much of it as you used to. Because Tom and Jerry is so damn evil, it's now going to have to be censored. Well, what the hell's that shit all about? I know, this sounds insane, and it'll sound even nuttier. Apparently there exists a Tom and Jerry cartoon where Tom, who is the gato, dresses up like a cowboy, rolls him a cigarette, you know, like they used to, and smokes a cigarette. Well, apparently somebody saw that and decided, can't have that kind of crap. We cannot encourage our children to go out to the stores and buy Zig Zags and Prince Albert and light their own cigarettes while they're playing cowboy. Because we know, of course, playing cowboy is the rage for all kids these days. Fucking Zig Zags are the least of your troubles, parents. So we want all the Cartoon Network showings and all the Boomerang showings of Tom and Jerry to be edited for content. No more mentions or depictions of cigarette smoking, or smoking anything for that matter. Don't know what else Tom may smoke in the films, but, you know, then again, they did do some in the 60s. So, you know, you would immediately think, what dumbass Americans, what stupid bored housewives started this shit? To my and your utter surprise, it got nothing to do with the Americans. It's a British watchdog organization that is now telling us how to watch our fucking cartoons. Well, I for one ain't gonna have it. We'll have our cats smoking whatever the hell we want to. I don't know if you noticed or not. You're over there. We is over here. We don't got no queen. We don't. You can edit your shit all that you want. All you have at it.
We can't have Bugs Bunny throwing anvils at people because kids might get the idea that it's fun to throw an anvil at people. And we just can't have that because we want to protect the children. You know, the children, of course, are our future.
Fuck.
kids, you know, kids won't eat fucking carrots because Bugs Bunny eats carrots. Kids won't eat spinach because Popeye eats spinach. So what the hell are they going to go, hey, let's line them up because Tom did. Maybe they'll help us catch a mouse. Fuck. Makes me throw my damn pencil. Keep your damn needle noses out of it, the British. Even though I generally like your culture, your people, and whatever, you got no reason to come over here and start bitching about our cartoons made, I think, 50 years ago. Kind of letting the cat, too late to get to let the cat out of the bag, whatever. This is not a good show for metaphors, no, is it?
I mean, language, yeah. I made the comment. I made the comment out on Shang-Chi. I'm going to do an entire show talking like that. Let's start right now, matter of fact. Let's go. I made the comment over at Shang-Chi's little radio show about conversationalism. About the fact that sometimes you just got to cuss. You stub your toe, you don't go, rats, man, darn it. You know, you probably have some explicit language for that little toe. Don't know why. Don't know why you're cussing your toe for, or cussing the door you hit, or whatever.
Bizarro Tip of Week. Brought to you by Anti-Viagra. More fun than Vasipin. When your wife has a headache, ask for Anti-Viagra.
Some band that, you know, people bitch about to reunite, and they won't, is Van Halen. And I think they're a bunch of jackasses. I mean, you know, look. Who, I think it was the same chick that was complaining about the divorce of Valerie Bertinelli and Eddie Van Halen. Once upon a time, Eddie Van Halen was a great musician hero of mine. Not anymore. Because, you know, I know some of the reasons why, but he's just a drunk. I mean, he is a drunk now. And I have no zero tolerance for drunks, just people who are drunks. You want to have a drink with your Italian dinner, fine. You want to have a beer every night or whatever, whatever. But drunks, you got to drink a whole bottle of Chablis before a show. I don't want to see you. I ain't paying to see your drunk ass up on stage. That is just pitiful. How far the mighty have fallen. But you know what would pep that bastard up, that Eddie Van Halen bastard up? Bring in some David Lee Roth. We don't want the fucking Sammy Hagar. Nobody wants to hear him. Maybe on his own, he can't drive 55. Fine. I don't want to hear him in Van Halen a fucking more. Out of their last three albums, two of them have been best ofs. What's that tell you? That's what that tells you. The two, and the new songs on the last album, all the fans were like, oh yeah, man, finally. Sammy Hagar is getting back with Van Halen. They're going to do some new songs. Let's listen. These are bad. And they sucked. They let drunk ass Eddie Van Halen produce them himself and mix them himself. I want to play these on the radio correctly, man. Well, turn the fucking drums up for one damn thing, you dumbass. There are rumors their bass player didn't really even play on the song. And what? They sucked. The song they released to radio was called It's About Time. And that's all it was, over and over. Those three words. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time that you wrote some damn words. We want the David Lee Roth. And I know he's a goof-ass, man. I know David Lee Roth's one of the biggest, flakiest goof-asses that there is on the planet Earth. If you've ever seen, what was it, David Lee Roth's barbecue and chipmunk roast or whatever the hell that video was that he inexplicably sent out to journalists, that was... I don't know. Ed Wood couldn't have done something that bizarre ass. That was stupid. He's got problems. But stick the son of a bitch up there to sing You Really Got Me. Put Eddie Van Halen with him. And I'm there. I am there. The last good songs Van Halen did were their short-lived reunion with David Lee Roth on the Greatest Hits CD. I think that's what it was called. Was it called Greatest Hits or The Best of Van Halen Volume 1? Something like that. It was Black Album. I don't know. So, and I don't know. 80s music, period, I guess, just wasn't a great time for lyrics. Some of the worst lyrics ever written came out of the 80s. From bands that are, I guess, still... Is Kiss still going? I hear about Gene Simmons every once in a while. I don't know if Kiss is even still going or not. because they were trying to flake everybody over and put two different dudes in it other than Gene and Paul. Did you know that? Did you know that? For the longest time, there ain't been no Ace and Peter in this damn reunited Kiss. It's been two dudes dressed up as them. That's a bunch of shit, isn't it? But this is from the guys that sang back in the 80s, seminal stuff like, "Heaven's on fire!" What the hell does that shit mean? Heaven's on fire! Heaven ain't on fire. You know, that's a bad analogy for sex, dude. Let's put the X in sex. You might as well just put out a song called Fuck! Heaven's on fire, my ass.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
You retired too?
Not me. I'm in my prime.
Yeah, you look it.
Welcome. I say welcome again, friends and neighbors, to yet another snappy edition of Happy Birthday to Dead People. Yes, Happy Birthday to Dead People, where we put the I in tribute. Happy Birthday to Dead People, as always, is sponsored by and brought to you by Sevco. Yes, Sevco! Try it, you'll like it. Sevco. Well, then when I say, well, you know, I really mean possibly. Let's look at March birthdays in history. Now, shall we? Let's wait for the music to stop and then restart again. Here we go. On March 1st, 1910, we saw the birth of David Niven. Yes, David Niven. 20 years later, his mustache was born. David Niven, of course, very famous for appearing as the Phantom Hitchhiker or whatever in the Pink Panther films. Actually, you know, David Niven was not an English guy. He was actually Scottish. Scottish. Is that a good Scottish accent, or is it... I have no idea. David Niven, yes, unfortunately, better known today, ironically, more for his appearance on the Oscars, where a nude guy streaked behind him than anything else. And if that's not irony, then I don't know what irony is. Odds are, I don't. David Niven would have been 96 crustaceous years old on the first. Big band, I mean big damn band musician, Glenn Miller, who's a band leader, killed in a plane crash during World War II. May have been something to do with the Bermuda Triangle, I don't really know. He'd be 102 years old today and asking, I'm 102 years old? Why am I still alive? Glenn Miller, yes, of course, he did the Jersey Bop. Not saying on who, but he did the Jersey Bop. Desi Arnaz turned 89 on March the 2nd, or at least he would have. Cuban band leader. He was a layer too. He played Ricky Ricardo on I Love Lucy. Most famous for singing Babalu. Or Babalu. Was that one of the Banana Splits? Or was that? I don't know. Anyway, Desi Arnaz, he's dead. James Doohan, who played Scotty on Star Trek. Of course, he was beamed up into the final frontier last year. But he would have been 86 now, and he would have been probably raising a toast. Anyway, Alexander Graham Bell. He invented the saxophone. Oh, no, the telephone. How foolish of me. He also trained teachers of the deaf, which has something to do with, I don't know. Alexander Graham Bell would have been 159 years old today, if only he had lived. Let's see what else we've got here. Let's go through the list. Ah, yeah, Rex Harrison. Not George Harrison. Two different guys, absolutely. He was wonderful, wasn't he? As Professor Higgins and my fair lady. He always wore that frickin' hat. Yes, Rex Harrison probably still going to be wearing that hat. He may have been buried with it. Well, what do I know? Anyway, he was born on March 5th, 1908, which would make him 98 years old today. Well, not today, but you understand what I'm saying, don't you? What else we got here? Sid Charisse, I don't think Sid Charisse is dead. Samuel Barber, don't know, whatever. Bixby Dixby, whatever. Oh, my God. Lawrence Welk. Ugh. When you were a kid, you have to sit through the frickin' Lawrence Welk show. Do you have to sit through it now? Ah, God bless you. He was the band leader of easy-listening champagne music. Named as such because you had to be drunk to listen to it. Lawrence Welk would be 102 years old today. Imagine that inferno of birthday cake. Good Lord. And, oh my God, finally, March the 13th would have been the 94th birthday of the one, the only, praise Allah, Tom Cruise, L. Ron Hubbard. 94 years old today. He was such a prophet. Why is he dead? Who knows? Anyway, all hail the cravat and make a cravat-shaped birthday cake for L. Ron Hubbard, born March 13th, 1911. Maybe Xenu is going after him now somewhere. Who knows? Of course, he doesn't hold a candle to Albert Einstein, who'd be 126 years old today. And probably he'd still pretty much look the same. I don't know. He was a genius. He formulated the theory of relativity. He didn't take into account that he'd eventually die. But I don't know. Who knows? Who the hell knows? Who cares? Just Albert Einstein. Just the greatest genius ever. Anyway, since Henny Youngman would have been 99 today, I'll let him bid a fond adieu to you for a happy birthday to dead people. But I really can't because he's dead, so what do I know? That's happy birthday to dead people for this time. Look for it again at your nearest grocer next time. We did watch, however, The Outsiders. You know, the classic S.E. Hinton novel transformed into film with hunky leading men of the 80s making their early appearances. Now, of course, you know me. I go straight for the special extras on any DVD we get. I go straight for that crap, because I love the extra special stuff. It may not be very extra, and it may not be very special, but it's, you know, extra stuff. They, of course, had a making of the movie where they talk to the people and whatever. But they had something, I don't know whose idea this was, and who thought this was so damn brilliant. Someone had the idea when they were putting together this DVD, you know, we gotta have one more thing. We need one more thing to fill out the space on this in the second disc. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I've got it! We're interviewing these guys anyway. Why not have them read selected chapters of the book, The Outsiders? That's brilliant! Everybody will want to see that. I don't know. Because what the hell was that all about? It is literally these actors sitting there reading the books. But what was cool about it is you got to see and kind of compare these actors to their 25-year-old selves, their selves 25 years ago, which is kind of unfair in a way, but it's kind of interesting to see who's aged badly and who hasn't. Rob Lowe has not really changed at all. I don't know how old this guy is, but he really hasn't changed in all these years. He looks pretty much the same and gave a damn good reading, actually. Did a good job with it. On the other hand, however, well, Diane Lane, she looks pretty much the same. Still a good-looking broad, you know. She's a broad. You know, she would have been great in 40s movies. She's a broad, you know, not like she is broad. She's, you know what I mean. However, on the other side of the coin, we'll go downward in the spiral here. There was Patrick Swayze. He's, what, 60, I guess? I don't know how old. He looked 70. The poor guy was sitting there with these arthritic-looking hands barely holding on to this book and his huge Pepsi bottle glasses honked on his nose there, getting through this, and I was like, oh, Lord, that's sad. This is formerly Mr. Dirty Dancing, and now he probably has to dance to the toilet. I mean, I don't know. There was Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid himself, who you would not hardly recognize. His voice is not even remotely the same, which is, thank God, it's not, you know, hey, Mr. Miyagi. And I don't know what he's done in the last 20 years. I don't know if he's done a movie. I have no idea. And you would think, yeah, the paragon of sadness will leave to last. Then came C. Thomas Howell, known as Tommy Howell back in the day. The heartthrob of many a young lady, featured frequently in 16 magazine, I guess. I don't know. Oh my God. Have you seen this damn guy lately? He was on a few months back on an episode of ER, and he was kind of a bad guy, sort of. And he looked awful. He had, like, gray hair and, you know, very salt and pepper, more salty than peppery. And he just looked terrible, and I thought, well, maybe he's done this for this role. And he was only in it for a very short time, so maybe it was the only gig he could get. I thought it was... It's sad when these people go on the shows, and you're not sure if this is some sort of special guest appearance, so you're supposed to go, hey, there's C. Thomas Howell! Or you're supposed to go, oh my God, he's doing that? And it's just like, let's stick this guy in here. Nobody will know who he is. But then he shows up on the reading part of the show. Reading is fundamental, you know. And he looked even worse. And I asked Stephanie, my lovely wife, I said, you know, how old do you think he is? That's Tommy Hell guy. And she was like, well, he's got to be, you know, pushing 50. So this is the magic of the internet. I was able to go and find out how old C. Thomas Howell is. I'm going to try to find a picture, a recent picture of him. Because he showed up later on in another part with Francis Ford Coppola, and he had the goatee going, had his hair a little bit different. He looked okay then. Looked much better. But otherwise, I was like, well, 50, yeah, maybe. I looked it up, and this dude is like, he's not even 40. This dude is 39, and he looks like he's almost 50. 50 cent. That was awful. But the Paragon of Sadness Award goes to the final reader on the reading thing. Don't know if he could read. Well, Matt Dillon was there, and I'm not real sure he could read either, but he did an okay job. He stumbled through it. The final one was the famous Leif Garrett. We dig the Leif Garrett around this house. He is, I don't know. But he looked like a bum. He had scraggly facial hair and hair. It looked like a bum's hair. He was dressed like a bum. A bum. And I got to noticing, I was like, you know, he has a cheaper mic than anybody else. It's about, you know, a step just above the POV mic here. And I was like, I wonder why they couldn't give him a fancy mic. And Stephanie had the quote of the night. She said, well, maybe they couldn't bring a more expensive mic into jail. I was like, that's entirely possible, yes. And the book, they probably never saw it again because he probably stole the book.
Thank you very so much as I back away slowly from the microphone. Episode 40 of POV now completes, and coming up very soon, episode 41 of the Best of POV. It comes in four parts. It's a whole box set. Make it a box set. If you make it a box set, let me know. I'd like to hear about that. Anyway, David W. Torrance saying, as always, if it wasn't for you, it just wouldn't be for me. We're going to have a little extra ending music for you so you can actually listen to it and enjoy it if you so choose. Anyway, David, that guy saying, if it wasn't for you, it just wouldn't be for me. I've already said that, so yeah, we're getting into the groove of things, obviously. Anyway, good night, ciao for now, and sayonara from the big chair here at POV. We'll see you next time for episode, 41. I think I've said that, too. Is he drunk? I think so. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.